Galatians 6:9 says that to not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Hallelujah. Well, I've often wondered when due season is, and there's a lot of definitions on due season, but glory to God, when the Lord manifests Himself, praise the Lord, or when you're due something in Jesus' name, because you've obeyed the Word of God. I believe you fast and pray, and you're doing it from your heart, committing yourself that way. So I was doing a little study on the year 2026, and in Gematria, you know, the Jewish format. It's an interesting thing because, you know, in Gematria, you'll have the little figurine, and then you'll have a number for every letter. And 2026 spells out the word Jehovah. I want that to sink in for a moment. 2026, this year, is the year of God. And the Holy Ghost was talking to me about it, and He said, I said, well, Lord, every year is the year of God, isn't it? And the Holy Ghost said, it's due season. I believe this is a year of due season. It's a God season. Hallelujah. It's a God season. It's a due season. You're due that healing. You're due that breakthrough. You're due that answer to prayer. You're due that revival in your family. You know, it's due season. I think we ought to lift our hands and magnify the Lord. Come on, just right out of your spirit. It's due season. It's the year of God. It's His season. It's His time in your life. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. It's due season, church. Glory to God. This week, I'm going to speak on one night. I don't intend to this evening because I'm going to go very quick, and I want you to come back tomorrow night. And Friday night, especially when the youth are singing, I want to hear that too. But I want to share with you something this week about the 12s. It's a year of 12s. I know there's 12 months in the year, but there's a year of 12s. And I'll talk about that because God does things in the Scriptures in 12s. And I believe every month you're going to have a unique anointing and you're going to have a special impartation every month of the year. God's the one who uses the 12s a lot in the Bible. Come on, shout hallelujah. I'll show you maybe in the book of Acts 12 different words for power. I receive one impartation of that word every month. I'll receive one every month in the name of Jesus. One of them is the power to be a hero. Anybody need a hero? Anybody need to be a hero to your family? Every man in here needs to be a hero to your sons and daughters and to your wife, so to speak. Absolutely. There's an anointing. Glory to God. There are anointings. There's an anointing. There's a supernatural anointing. Listen to me. There's a supernatural anointing. A power from God to cause previously dead fields to become very fruitful. Be seated. I'll share a little more of it. This week, years ago, quite a few years ago, there was an elderly couple, and I say elderly because I'm kind of classified in that crowd, you know, sometimes. My wife and I this year will have been married 50 years, so that automatically gives me some kind of, you know, credibility right there. She gets an extra crown in heaven, of course, for putting up with me. And this was an elderly couple, and they went to be with the Lord in their 90s. They were members of my church, had been around a long time, and they had moved off, and then they moved back. They left the state, went to another state, and then they realized, kind of like Ruth and Naomi, they needed to get back to Texas, and so they went back to Texas, where the blessing was. Thank you very much. Hook 'em horns. And so anyway, they came back, and they had a little small piece of property. It wasn't very big. that they had owned, and there'd never been anything on it that anyone knows about. And so they wanted to give that to the church, so they gave it to the church. And this is years ago. This is probably 20, 25 years ago. They gave it to the church. And we've just had it, and it's just been sitting there and breeding mosquitoes and crawfish, you know. And that's just kind of what you get down on the coast where we live. And so in November, I decided, felt in my spirit, it was time. I said, well, we're going to sell that piece of property. And Cindy, that's my wife, she said, well, Walter, why are you selling that property? I said, I don't know. I think it's a good time to sell it. And she said, well, it's not hardly worth anything. I said, well, that's the way I feel about it too, but we'll go ahead and put it up for sale. Well, it just so happens that the little city that I'm a part of there, little town, a lot smaller than Knoxville right here, a little coastal town right there, we live along the coast, they decided they wanted to buy that piece of property. And they gave us a little less than $1 million for that piece of property and did it in 30 days. Closed it, wrote the check, money in the bank, and that was last week. I believe this is a year of God. I believe it's a year of God. I bought a little piece. I'll show it to Pastor when he comes down there, if I can ever get him to come down to the Gulf Coast down there. And if he ever gets bit by one of those mosquitoes, he may not want to leave. May not be able to. Some of them are so big. But anyway, we bought a place down there 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I think it's 6 years now. And it was a little business. And the devil had attacked me with COVID. Is it all right if I talk for a minute? We'll get spiritual, and I'll turn you to the Bible here in just a second. And so had attacked me with COVID, and it was very serious. I had a serious attack, and personally, I'm not asking anybody to endorse this one way or the other. I'm just telling you it was the position I took. We wouldn't take any of those shots and stuff. And so, my goodness, my doctor was upset. I'm just telling everybody was upset. I said, well, everybody but me, and I'm the guy that has to take it. And I'm not taking it. So I didn't take it. I didn't take the shots. And so I lost about 45 pounds or something like that. And I do not recommend you go on the COVID diet. It's you'll pay the price for that one, I can tell you that. But be that as it may, but the Lord helped me. So while I was recovering from that, I was on the uphill slope, so to speak, finally. And so this guy that he and I have bought a lot of land and have worked with him together to do that. He's a broker, and he's been a good friend for about 25 years now with me. So anyway, he called me and said, hey, you know, there's a building over here. He said, you know where that building is? I said, yeah, that used to be an old nightclub, didn't it? He said, yeah, but it's an event center now. And I said, oh, yeah, well, you can't see it from the road. You know, you can just barely see it. I don't know how anybody want to go over there to it. He said, well, you know, that outfit out, they were out of Salt Lake City, Utah. They all went bankrupt. They had 40 of those across the South and stuff. And from Salt Lake City all the way across here. And they bankrupt the whole company, and all 40 of them. And I as I understand it, the court had gotten them, and so they were for sale. He said, you ought to just make a little offer on that. He said, I said, man, what do I want a place like that for? He said, well, I think you could buy it pretty reasonable. I said, all right, well, hallelujah, I'll do it. We'll just look at it. And I was kind of mad at the devil. You ever get mad at the devil? Here I'm laying in bed and all that stuff, trying to recover from that stuff. And I said, all right, well, you know, I'm going to do it. So I had him make out a thing for us, and I made a lowball offer on it. Well, be careful now. Look, your words are powerful. You got to be careful, because I had no idea that the court was going to take it, but they took it. So then we bought it, and we set it there. And I said, "Well, praise the Lord! Now what we're going to do? We'll do with that building." So I have a daughter. I have two daughters, you know, and two son-in-laws and seven grandkids now. And so my oldest daughter, who works at the church and in the ministry there, she is a preaching machine. I'm just telling you, she's a Holy Ghost gal, and. So anyway, she said, well, Dad, I'd like to try to run an event center there. Just do that. You know, people need a place, you know, to do whatever they do, you know, hold their parties and stuff like that. I said, all right, go ahead and do it. Well, now this year, this past year, and I hadn't seen the total yet, but we will have leased that out to weddings and quinceañeras and all the stuff that do. Our area has a large Spanish contingency in it down there. And it'll be about $1 million this year that people have just rented to build it. Listen, God knows how to bless you and make the devil pay it back sevenfold too. And then when they, I said, well, we need to find out, you know, we ought to advertise it. I don't know what had happened when we was advertising. And well, then I found out the city of our town right there that that this is in, it's right up the road from where we live, is a little community called Dickinson. And so Dickinson, Texas, up there about 15 minutes from Johnson Space Center, actually. And so on that side of Houston. And so the city bought all of the property around us that joins our property. The city did. And now they all of a sudden are building stuff up around that. And the value of that place just went to the moon. Now listen, I'm not bragging on me. I'm telling you, we're living in a year of due season. It's due season. It's due season. It's due season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now listen, you can agree with me or you can believe for yourself. It's due season. How's the Holy Ghost been working in your life? What's God doing there? The Lord talked to me a lot about this year. I don't know, Pastor, I've got this thing in my spirit real strong and I'm trying not to get over into tomorrow and Friday night's message right there. But one thing's for sure, there are anointings that are dead in people that have been dormant in men and women's lives this year. By the end of this year, your anointing and your gifting will have resurrected again. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now listen to me. And you'll be like the prodigal son when he came home. He'll get everything back. He'll get everything restored. Glory to God. If you can receive it for yourself, you ought to lift your hands to the Lord and just begin to thank God. Anointings in your life. Sudden restorations. Sudden restorations. Pastor Barry, sudden restorations. The Lord showed me 12 sudden restorations in the Bible that just happened suddenly. Suddenly. Sudden restoration. Just rocking along and it looked like nothing but bad was going, boom. And then all of a sudden, suddenly something good happened. Glory to God. I tell you, Ruth and Naomi about to starve to death. Got more grief in them than you could imagine all the stuff they've been through. They buried all of the men in their life and didn't have anything and it just looked like it got worse. Then they got back to the place of blessing. They came back to Knoxville Christian Center, and when they got back to the place of blessing, it still didn't look like anything was changing for them. And then suddenly, come on, shout suddenly. Suddenly, some guy just sees Ruth out trying to do her very best one day. Glory to God. And somehow God gave a supernatural connection and an attraction there. Hallelujah. And God restored everything. God restored everything. And put them in the lineage of Jesus according to Matthew chapter 1. Glory to God. I believe this is a due season. It's a due season. It's the year of Jehovah. Oh, glory to God. Ooh, I'm going to receive it for myself whether you do for you or not. I don't know. I'm just going to talk to myself up here right now. The more I'm seeing that, the bigger that's getting in my spirit. Let me talk to you just for a second. Glory to God. If you get down to Houston, Texas and Galveston and down in that area, always come by and we'd love to have you at Abundant Life Christian Center. And just come and visit. Praise the Lord. If you're watching online this evening or if you are visiting in here tonight and you're a guest of some kind, please come back Monday because you'll get a lot better preaching than you get this evening, but I'm going to give you my best right now. In Acts chapter 3, and there's an interesting thing. You don't have to turn to it. Chapter 3 and 4, there's Peter and John are having a powerful time, and they're going to the church. They're going to the temple. And isn't it something that they in the Bible, they believed in going to church? You guys could almost be Bible characters as much as y'all been going to church this month. And then they see a man who's begging for, he's begging for alms. And somebody once said he's begging for alms and God gave him legs. But be that as it may, he's out begging. And he's at a place, the Bible says, by the gate beautiful, by the beautiful gate. The gate beautiful. And I've thought about that gate many times because Jesus, of course, this man was over 38 years old, the Bible says. And so he would have been there the whole time that Jesus would have been in ministry. Because by the time he shows up, the day of Pentecost is somewhere between 3 and 5 years already happened. And so this man would have been almost the exact same age that Jesus physically would have been right there. And Jesus would have gone through that same place time and time and time and time again. He'd have been through it many times. But this man, for whatever the reason, he never did get a healing when Jesus came through. But Peter and John came by and he had some kind of expectation. Faith gives substance to what you're expecting. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. E-L-P-I-S, help us. Faith is a substance of things anticipated or expected from God. Get that in your spirit. Not just what you need, what you expect. And Peter and John said, look on us. And it says the man looked on expecting to receive. Now, I'm not sure what he was expecting to receive. It was probably silver and gold, but he was expecting to receive something. And then Peter said, now what I have to give you today is not silver and gold. So he must have given to this man more than one time because the man was expecting that they were going to do something like that. He said, now, but what I have today, I'm going to give it to you in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. He said, such as I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. And he's right there at that gate. You know, God loves gates. God loves gates. Psalm says, the book of Psalm says, lift up your head, O you gates. And the King of glory will come in. You and I, the Bible calls us a gate. We're a portal. We're a gate. Lift up your head, O you gates, and the King of glory will come in. Oh, hallelujah. Now listen, when we come to the house of God, even though you've been coming for 20 days in a row, and I bless you and all of those things, and I am with you, and I'm not going to preach about French fries or anything like that. I'm not going to do that to you. But what I will tell you is God is in your fast. The Holy Ghost is working with you. But you're a gate. You're a portal. You're a portal for the anointing. Malachi 3, I'm not taking an offering. Malachi 3 is a powerful thing. It says that when you tithe an offer, how many of you tithe an offer? Obviously, you're in the house of God like this and committed to the Lord, you are. And it says that when you tithe an offer, that God opens the windows of heaven in you. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. That's in you. In you, He opens the windows of heaven. You're loaded. You're loaded with divine qualities, divine blessings, divine assets. And I'm not just talking about dollars here. I'm just talking about that anointing of God. He says He opens you the windows of heaven and pours out blessings. Glory to God. There's not, He pours them into your world, into the orbit that you're in. God begins to pour out blessings, favor, anointing. Hallelujah. I call you the beautiful gate. And such as God has given you, that'll flow out of you. That'll bless other men and women. Hallelujah. I was watching and listening here just a moment ago and just praying with you over some people calling out names that people I don't even know, but just praying in the Holy Ghost while you're praying, and which is a powerful thing to do. That's because there's something in you. There's an anointing in you. Glory to God. One time Jesus, His first miracle, He actually demonstrated that. And He said something like, draw out now. Everybody shout now. Draw out now, he said. Now. Now. And the water was turned to wine. Glory to God. You've got water. That's what the Word is, the water of the Word. That's inside of you. You know the Word of God. And there are times God will turn that divinely into Holy Ghost wine. Glory to God. Glory to God. It just becomes divine. It just begins to work totally different. What a good God we serve. Glory to God. Glory to God. I've got a man in my church right now that when I talk about a gate, this man's a gate. When he comes to the house of God, he is going to praise God. He's not going to withhold it. He's not going to just sit there and watch and kind of like we're, you know, at the circus watching the clowns up in the platform or anything. No, no, no. He's going to get with it. His hands are going to be in the air. He's going to be clapping. He'll dance. It doesn't make any difference what it is. He's just going to do it. Well, a few years ago he came to church and they had diagnosed him with a rare form of cancer. He was, I think, 34 years old at the time. MD Anderson, the big cancer research center. A rare form of cancer, and there really wasn't any treatments for it. And his father had died at exactly that same age with that exact same rare thing. That curse was trying to get over on him. And it didn't look good. And he was full of the Word of God. And every day he'd feed himself on the Word of God. And he got weaker and weaker and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And they told him, you know, we can use you basically experimentally because this is a rare lymph node thing and it was all over him. It had gotten real rare, whatever the name of it is, gotten real bad. And he would come to church, someone would bring him, and they'd have to carry him in, and he'd come up to the platform or to the altar every time we'd have a prayer service. He'd get up and come up there. Somebody would help him up there. And he was just getting worse and worse and worse. But you know, we serve a good God. And there was a certain day that it just changed. Just like that. When I went over to pray for him, every time I'm going to pray in faith. I don't mind praying more than once as long as it's in faith. I mean, somebody said one time, you know, you ought not pray more than once for something. Or it's not faith. I said, I know people who pray one time and it wasn't faith the first time they prayed. No, to stay in faith every time you pray. Believe and accept. Glory to God. Pray the first time one way and from then on start thanking God for it. Glory to God. Y'all doing all right? And so when I laid hands on him that day, just to get an agreement with his faith, because I knew he was believing for that, he said to me, standing right there, and he was gasping when he was talking. He said, Pastor, I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. I believe according to Isaiah 53:5. I believe I'm healed. I said, I agree with you. I believe you're healed. And so we just prayed in faith. Carried him back to his chair. That week he goes to MD Anderson again for this routine that he was on. He goes to MD Anderson. And they start examining him. Because he just looked better. His color came back. And when he gets there, they start running blood tests and start doing all kind of things. And they can't find a trace of that stuff in him. Listen, and he is totally healed right now today. A walking physical miracle. You let that water get on the inside of this clay vessel, this clay pot. There comes a moment God will turn it to wine. Are you listening to me? Oh, hallelujah. I believe that's this week for you. Some of you are going to have it all year long. You just watch. If you'll get your faith and wrap it around that, it'll be a year of due season. A year of due season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At the gate, beautiful. There he was. Psalms 87:2. The Bible says, God loves the gates of Zion. God loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. God loves gates. God loves gates. Gates are very interesting things. Genesis 22, God spoke to Abraham and he said, you're going to possess, your children will possess the gates of your enemy. Ooh, I don't know about you, but I claim that for my family right now. I've prayed that over my children and my grandchildren. Our children are going to possess the gate of our enemies. God loves gates. Come on, shout hallelujah. Gates are real interesting places. Gates, because they generally, they're going to be on a wall. And there's a lot of difference in a wall and a gate. A wall is there to keep stuff from getting in. But a gate is there to let you in and out. Walls are built to keep stuff out. Are you listening to me? But gates are there to let stuff in. Hallelujah. Isn't this deep doctrine? Y'all ready for this? God loves gates. Too many times we build walls in our lives and we almost keep God out. And God actually calls us a gate. He stands at the gate and knocks. Somebody shout, let him in. It's very important. Hallelujah. Gates are interesting. Gates swing both ways also. I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay here with me. Gates can be going in. You can let people in. You can let people out. They swing both ways and they hang on hinges. Just recently, I've got these big gates at my house. Back in 1996, I told this girl that I'd married my first wife. And the only one I've ever been married to. Just thought I'd say that. And so I told her when I proposed to her and asked her if she would marry me many years ago. And of course she said yes. But you know, I was a loudmouthed boy in love and everything. And I'm like, someday, honey, if you'll marry me, I'll build you the house that you want. And you just tell me what the house is. I'm just telling you, I don't care. I don't care how the mountain is. I'll do it, you know, and how deep the water is, I'll do it. And if it doesn't rain, I'll be there Thursday or something. But anyway, so I told her I'd build her house. So in 1996, I built her a house. And it's a nice house. And so we have approximately six acres that we live on. And so it's got this, and it's fenced and all that. And I've got two sets of gates, big old gates. And the hinges on these gates, big double gates, you know, and the hinges on the exact. Now, the reason I do that was for security, because down in Texas, it's not like this in Tennessee. They got idiots that live in Texas. And so I'd be out preaching the gospel somewhere, and my wife and our daughters would be at the house. And so I have one of those circle drives, you know. And so the cowboys would get drunk, and they'd come up there, and they'd pull up, and they'd park like 2 a.m, sitting on the back of their pickups there. And we got a lot of cowboys in it where I live. And they'd be sitting there and they're drinking beer in my driveway. And it's intimidating and scaring the fire out of my wife and kids, you know, inside of there. And y'all don't do this in Texas, I'm sure, but they start shooting where we are if they don't get that truck out of there. And I didn't want my wife to get in trouble for shooting somebody. So we put a fence up and we put gates up there. So that's kind of the story to why the gates and the fence are there. Well, anyway, those hinges on that thing started getting bad, and I had to have the hinges worked on. Because hinges in the scriptures and gates in the scriptures, you have to have hinges. And those hinges really are a choice, because that's what lets it go in or out. And God loves choice. Everybody shout choice. I mean, the scripture says, choose you. Come on, say it with me. Choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And so that gate, it swings both ways based on your choice. 2026, I'm telling you, is a year of supernatural choices. And God will give us insight. He'll give you insight to make the right choice. Hallelujah. Authority. Strength and authority has so much to do with two things. One of them is responsibility and the other is choice. Are you listening to me? Look, I don't know why God did what He did in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, but He told them, He said, look, stay in the garden. You can have everything that's available. It's like heaven on earth. Gives you a little snapshot of what heaven might look like, especially a part of heaven for sure. And there it is. But I don't want you to eat the fruit of that particular tree there. You can have a thousand other trees and all of the fruit and everything else, but just leave that one alone. Now, he gave them the power of choice and responsibility. Are you listening to me? Faith does not eliminate those two things. Your love for God does not eliminate those two things. Those are things that you have the ability, choice and responsibility. You have that yourself. And promotion and authority and all of those things come, maturity, especially in a man, comes because you begin to develop responsibility. You know, when you're just a kid growing up and all of those things. I was a young boy growing up in a preacher's home, never wanted to be a preacher. Wanted to be a good guy and live for Jesus and be a good deacon and all the other things like that. But I just didn't want to be a preacher. And my dad would say, son, why don't you get up here and I know you got something in you there. Just, I'd say, nope, not going to do it, Dad. I'll play the piano for you. I'll sing. I'll, you know, work in the youth ministry. I'll do whatever, but I'm not going to be a preacher. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do the other things. You get up here and preach and I'll help pay for it. And that's what I told him too. but it didn't shake him off my trail. He kept pursuing me anyway. But God began to bless there. And as a young guy, I go into college. I'm playing baseball in college. And I didn't like what I was becoming in college. I didn't like it at all. So I walked a full ride scholarship and went down in one day and joined the Air Force. Well, my dad, who he was 6'2", big old red-headed, blue-eyed, Holy Ghost Marine, World War II era Marine, first of all, he couldn't believe that I would have joined the Air Force instead of the Marines. And then secondly, he was real upset that I'd done it and hadn't said anything to him at all. And he was very upset about it because I was still young. I was 17 when I graduated high school. And so, and after my first year, that's what I'd done. But I needed it for me personally. I needed to develop some personal responsibility because I knew I had some talent. I knew I had a little bit of that skill. You all know how you know who you are and all of that stuff. But I was just out of control with it. Well, being in the military, you know, it really kind of helped set me straight. And it was a good thing to be able to do it. So all of that kind of stuff begins to mature you a little bit. Can I just say to you that faith will work in anyone that'll believe the Word of God. It'll work for anyone that believes. But it works a lot better if you have a spirit of self-control about yourself. Because promotion comes because you have embraced responsibility. And just in life. I mean, you're responsible. First of all, faith will work a whole lot better if you're responsible for your health. How many of you can agree with me that if your blood sugar is not good, then you ought not be eating sugar? I know this is deep doctrine. Get a hold of it. You think, well, maybe by faith, you know, I'll get over it. No, you're not getting over it. We're going to preach your funeral early. That's what's going to happen. You're cutting days off of your life every day. You can live for Jesus till you die, but He wants you to live a lot longer. So take that responsibility. You say, well, but I really like chocolate a lot. Well, pray the gift of hating chocolate will come on you or something. No, just cowboy up to it. Say, no, that's my responsibility. My body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. I believe 26 is going to be a powerful year of men and women saying, here's a gate. Here's a choice I have to make. And I'm going to make this choice correctly. Glory to God. I'm just not going to go the way I used to go. I'm letting 25 go. It swung out. It's gone. I'm not going back into 25. I know the Lord blessed us in 25 a lot, and we'll always thank God for the blessings. But there's a whole lot of dumb stuff we did in 25. Don't lift your hand. I'm just telling you. There's a lot of dumb stuff people did in 25 in Texas. I'm sure up in Tennessee that don't apply. But I'm telling you it does down in Texas. And we ought to be learning. Hallelujah. We ought to be learning. Glory to God. We ought to be getting a little bit better, changing a little more into the image of the Lord, the Bible says, every day, just changing, changing. And so that door swinging, those hinges are choices that you make. God loves the fact that you and I can choose. You chose to be in the house of God. That's that hinge. You made that choice. You chose to come to church tonight. You chose to listen online and to let God begin to speak to you about things going in and out of that door in your life. It's very important. Those choices are real powerful. They're not things that we just do because we think we're going to get away with it. No. You're full of the kingdom of God. You're full of the kingdom of God. The kingdom's within you. Choices. You're a gate. You're a portal. The Bible says to lift up your head, O you gates. God calls us a gate. There's a passage that's going. The King of glory, His kingdom wants to be ministered to inside of you. Come on, somebody say amen real quick. I know one thing. If I'd have been God, and I'm not, obviously, because God's taller than me. But here's what I can say to you right off. It's very, very real. Glory to God. I love you guys. I can't believe you came to church after 20 days of not eating. Very, very hard to do that. 10 days, 14 days, 21 days. And some of you go 40 days. I'm like, Jesus, give them everything they say and think. In the name. That's what I say. Hallelujah. What a blessing. It's powerful. It's a powerful thing. Glory to God. It's a powerful thing. If I'd have been God and that tree was there in the garden, I'd have put an electric fence around that thing. I'd have had an angel with a flaming sword right there. And if they got within 100 yards of that tree, I'd have said, sick them, you know, like that. Get away from that tree. But you see, God loves choice. He loved the fact that Adam and Eve could actually make a choice. And they did not make the right choice that day. In 2026, can you agree with me? We're going to make right choices in the name of Jesus. Come on. Choose this day, Joshua 24:15 says. We'll make the right choice. We're not making wrong choices. I'm almost done. I want y'all to hear this with me. Joshua was a powerful, powerful leader. And God had said to Moses originally and then to Joshua later on. He said, now listen to this for a moment. He said, as you begin to conquer that land and you begin to take that territory, he said, I want you to take six cities and build these cities. And these cities are called cities of refuge. Have you read it in the Bible? They're called cities of refuge. And a city of refuge is a city that under the law, which was eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, if somebody had a homicide of some kind, if they had killed someone, especially if it was accidental, but if they killed someone because of the shedding of blood, the family of the deceased person could designate a person in, all of this in Numbers 35 and Joshua 20, they could designate a person who would be called the avenger of blood or the blood avenger. Have you read this in the scriptures? The blood avenger. And if somebody had even accidentally killed somebody else, then that family, if they wanted to take, the Bible calls it their satisfaction, or we call it the revenge, if they wanted to take revenge on that person, even though it had been an accident, they could kill that person. They could designate a person in their family who was called the avenger of blood, and he could go and kill that person that had killed his loved one. Now, there were six cities, though, that God spread out. And those six cities were called cities of refuge. And those cities were really interesting because the scripture says, if that person who had killed someone could get to one of those cities and get in that city before the avenger of blood caught up with him, he was safe to live inside of that city. They were to have a big gate on them, and they were to be unlocked and available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If a person could get to the city of refuge, then the blood avenger could not go in there and kill that person. Oh my goodness. If it's Sunday morning, I'd preach a message right now. I'm just telling you, that's a powerful, powerful thing. Well, there's a story in the Bible, 2 Samuel. There's a story of a man named Abner. And Abner was one of David, King David's sons. And Abner killed a man. And Abner was a problem child, to say the least. But anyway, David said, okay, get out of here and go. And he goes to a place called Hebron. And David had another man that works for him. And a great general, his name was Joab. And when you read about these guys. Well, Joab and Joab's brother despised Abner. And they were upset because David had let his son get into a city of refuge and they took off after him. Have y'all read this in the Bible? And they took off after him and he got inside the city of refuge before Joab, who was a bad motor scooter. I'm just telling you, this guy, when David wanted somebody assassinated, Joab's the guy he'd send him out there to do it. And so he gets inside of Hebron. Abner does. He gets inside of Hebron. And Joab, he stops. He can't go in. He has to stay there. He's the avenger of blood. But he starts talking into Abner inside the city. And the Bible says he would talk to him and he talked nicely to him. He talked, one translation says, satisfactory or kindly. And he's just talking to Abner inside. Joab is. Abner, I forgive you. It's all over with. No, I'm fine. No, you know, let's be friends. And day after day, he talks to Abner inside. Well, Abner decides, you know, I think I'm going to just go back. And he walks outside of the gate. He leaves the city of refuge and walks outside. And when he walks up, the Bible says, when he comes up to Joab, Joab took a big knife and hit him in the fifth rib, or basically cut out his heart. Just bam, hit him right in the heart and killed him, graveyard dead. And they went and told David what had happened. And they said, Abner came outside of the city of refuge. He should have never done it. And David said, listen, King David, that was his son. David said, Abner died as a fool dies. Can I just say this right now? And maybe somebody come to the piano, because I'm not going to preach anymore tonight on this right here. He said he died like a fool because he came out of the city of refuge. Let this drop in your spirit today. Our Savior and our Lord, His name is Jesus. The Bible says that His name is a strong tower. It is a refuge, the Scripture says. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He that dwells in that secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you read about the city of refuge, it does say this, and it's very interesting that it says it. It says, if a man ever gets inside the city of refuge, he is safe, but he has to stay inside of the city of refuge. Now listen, and then it says, until the high priest who is in that city dies. And when the high priest in the city dies, then that man is released and that charge is dropped off of his life. It's a staggering statement. It's right there in black and white. It says, in that city of refuge, there's a high priest. And that person who's committed some kind of death, worthy of death thing, he has to stay inside that city until the high priest dies. Once the high priest is dead, he's released. And he can leave, and they can't avenge the blood. Oh my goodness. I know it doesn't take a spiritual giant to figure that out, but let that drop in your spirit. His name is Jesus. He is our city of refuge. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. Come on, can you shout hallelujah with me this evening? There's an anointing. Psalms 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. O God, Jesus is our refuge. Can you listen to me now? He is not only our city, but He has already died. Not only has He died, but He arose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. That means whatever hell tried to trip you up or whatever choice or decision you made that was not good in 25, I'm saying in Christ, I'm not coming out. I'm not going back to 25. I've made that decision for me and my house. Come on, how about you? We're going all the way with Jesus. There's some things we drop off. And I'm like, no, I don't care how nice the devil gets out here and starts talking. And he'll do this to people. I've been pastoring now for 40 years, over 40 years. And he'll do this to good people. I'm talking about Christians and talking tongues on Sunday and smoke dope on Monday. Y'all know what I'm talking about. One of those guys, they're like, what are we doing? What? Give their life to Jesus, and the next thing you know, they're like, Pastor, God, set me free from that stuff. Set me free. Oh, hallelujah. Let me hear your testimony. How long ago did God set you free? Well, last Saturday is the last time I've used any. I'm going to tell you. Get out of the praise team. Get down here. Get delivered. Lord, have mercy. No, we're not going back. We're not going back. The devil will get on the other side of that gate. And he'll say, well, you know, it's okay to drink a little bit, you know, and I don't, you know, it's nobody's business if you drink. It's just your, yes, the devil's business. Sure, I mean, hell loves to mess people up with that stuff. Maybe I need to preach on that, I don't know. All of the stuff that hell tries to do to get you outside, to go back. You remember what God set you free from. A vision, a purpose in life, a direction, a destiny that was going the wrong direction, and then God sets you free. I don't know about you, for me in my house, I'm not going back. Come on, can you just lift your hands and just bless the Lord?